The scripture reading this evening is a beautiful passage from the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1, the first 12 verses. Listen to the word of the Lord. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with His blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, unfading, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. So far, the reading of this beautiful portion of Holy Scripture. Before we open this Word of God, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this beautiful doxology in the first epistle of Peter. O Lord, help us to look at this. Help us to understand the great benefits we have from the resurrection of our Lord Jesus from the dead. O Lord, bless this word unto our hearts. Grant us the filling and the anointing of Your Holy Spirit, the unction from above, that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart may be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. The epistle of Peter, the first epistle of Peter, is all about hope. Hope. That's a wonderful word, hope. I was in the Ontario, California airport, waiting to board a plane to the east. And I was standing, watching the plane being loaded. And a young man was standing next to me, and we had talked together, and we talked about basketball and various things. And he said, "Look, they're putting a casket on the plane." And I looked, and yes, up that conveyor was a casket. I said to that young man, "There's nobody in that casket." If the person who died loved Jesus, he's in heaven. And there's no one in that casket, it's just his body. And that young man said, I'm a Christian too. And then he introduced me to his mother, who was standing nearby. And we had a wonderful talk about our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what the three of us had in common? A living hope. That death is not the end of things. That there is life beyond this life. Not only is it beyond it, it's better. You remember how the psalmist in Psalm 16, Thou wilt show me the path of life, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. It is amazing what is in store for the child of God. That is the living hope we have. It's a living hope. You know what a live wire is? A live wire is a wire in which there's a constant flow of electricity. You know what living water is? It's water that's bubbling. Living hope is a constant hope. It's a constant reality. It's not just a wish that I hope it'll be a good day tomorrow, or I hope that Michigan wins tomorrow night, or I hope this or I hope that. No, that's not what the word hope in the Bible means. The hope is a reality. It's not a wish that you don't know for sure what's going to happen, you just hope for the best. No, it's a reality. We know, like the Lord says, Paul says, I know whom I have believed, that he is able to keep what I've committed against him, unto him against that day. I know it. Like we sang, I know that my Redeemer lives. What joy this blessed assurance gives. He lives who once was dead. He lives my ever-living head. That's the living hope we have. We know it. And what a wonderful thing that is. We don't go through life doubting. We don't go through life, well, if only it would be so. I hope so. Do you know that you're going to go to heaven when you die? And someone might say, well, I don't. I just hope so. I hope for the best. No. The child of God has more than that. Like the Heidelberg Catechism begins and says, what is your only comfort? Not only your only comfort, what is the only comfort in life and death? That I am not my own, but I belong. It's not a wish that I might belong. No, that I do belong. You know why? Because Christ has fully purchased my redemption with his own precious blood. It's sealed, it's settled, it is a sure thing. That's what the Christian hope is. So let's look at that. The Apostle Peter is talking about that. To exiles who are elect in the dispersion, that is in the Jewish community that was dispersed out of Israel, and they're living in various parts of the Middle East, in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. That's where they're living. They're displaced. They're refugees. They're refugees. They're no longer in their homeland. They are fleeing from persecution. And so they're in these various places. And Peter is writing to them. And he's writing to encourage them. And his encouragement is all about the hope we have, the living hope, the reality that no matter what happens to us, what happens to our bodies, Our soul is secure in Jesus Christ. That's what he's writing about. And that's what I want to look at with you this evening. What a wonderful truth this is. This is the great benefit of the resurrection. There's power, and there's praise, there's power, and there's preservation here in this beautiful doxology. Notice the praise. The Apostle Peter begins this doxology with the word, "Blessed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has begotten us unto a living hope." The attribute of our Heavenly Father and the attribute of our Lord Jesus that Peter emphasizes here is his mercy, is God's mercy. God stoops down. He lays his eyes upon us and he lifts us up. We who don't deserve it. And who among the disciples was the most conscious of this? Well, they all were in a certain sense, but the most was Peter. Peter who, in the midst of Christ's trial, when Jesus needed him the most, he said, "I don't know that man." And he cursed and swore and said, "No, I don't know him. I'm not his disciple. I do not know him." And then their eyes met, Jesus and Peter. And Peter's heart was broken. He was struck with such a deep sorrow and grief. He went out and he wept bitterly. And no wonder when he heard that Jesus was raised, he was so concerned to make sure that that was so. He had so much at stake. And it's the mercy of the Lord that he is so thankful for. He's so thankful that God in his mercy has looked down upon him and has restored him. Remember in the book of Mark and the resurrection narrative, the angel says to the women, "You tell the disciples and Peter that I go before them into Galilee." So Jesus had an encounter with Peter after the resurrection. And it is that Peter is so overwhelmed with gratitude. He praises the Lord for his mercy. The mercy of God. It's so wonderful. His grace is greater than all our sin. And so Peter, in this great doxology, says, "Blessed, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope." You see, hope was a very important thing for these dear people, and it's important for us. It's very important for us to have a living hope. It's very important for us to know that this world is not the only thing there is. That this life is not all there is. You see, in the first century pagan world, it was characterized by pessimism. By pessimism. For example, there was a chorus in an ancient Greek play that said, "Not to be born at all, that is by far the best fortune. The second best is as soon as one is born with all speed to return to where you have come." On a tomb of someone says, "I was not, I became, I am not, and I care not." That kind of pessimism. And then another poet writes, "Suns can rise and fall again, but once our brief life is dead, There's nothing left but one long night from which we shall never awake. Can you believe it? That was the feeling of the day in that day in the pagan world. No wonder Socrates, who was one of the philosophers of that day, of the 4th century B.C., he ended his life by drinking the hemlock, the poison, and he died of suicide. In the 21st century, the 20th century through which we have just gone, one of the writers in the early part of the 20th century was Ernest Hemingway, and he was struck by the same pessimism, and he ended his life by putting a shotgun into his mouth and pulling the trigger. I mean, what hope is there? For the unbeliever, there is no hope. Paul writes to the Ephesians, he said, "He that is without Christ in the world is without hope. But with Christ Jesus, we have a living hope. I know whom I have believed, that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." And listen to Paul at the end of his life. He said, "The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have run the noble course. And I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which God the righteous judge will give to me, and not to me only, but to everyone who loves his appearing." That's a living hope. He knew that he belonged to Jesus Christ, and that even though he knew that execution was just around the corner, he had confidence. He went with joy into the next world. And he is now in glory, praising the Savior, praise him ever. And that's the hope and that's the confidence that you and I have. The Apostle Peter writes in the second letter, "My dear brothers, make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And you will receive a rich welcome into the kingdom that is awaiting you." That's the living hope we have. So praise the Savior. Not only praise, but also power. Notice the Apostle Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has begotten us unto a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, to be born again." He gives us a new birth. The new birth is that we are made alive, though, like Paul says in Ephesians 2, "You who were dead in trespasses and sins have been made alive by the power of God." He makes us alive. That's what the new birth is. Being born again, born from above. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, when Nicodemus said, "You must be someone who has certainly come from God, for no one can do what you're doing." Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born from above, was born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We must be born again. The power of the new birth is the power of the resurrection. Paul says this in Romans 6, verse 4, that we are buried with him in baptism and raised with him to newness of life. That as Jesus arose from the grave, we too are raised from spiritual death. Or as Paul says in a great personal testimony, Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ, so it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives within me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the power of the new life, the power of the resurrection. He gives us a new life. Oh, how blessed we are to know that we serve indeed a risen Savior. So there's praise and there's power and there is a wonderful inheritance. We are born again unto the new life, the new birth, and unto an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. It's preservation. He preserves us. An inheritance. That inheritance that Jesus earned is ours. Now in the Old Testament, God spoke to the Israelites about an inheritance. And their inheritance was the land of Canaan. The Lord promised that they would get there. It took a long time. They were in the land of Egypt as slaves for over 400 years. And then through the wilderness journey of 40 years, finally they get to their inheritance, which is the land of Canaan. But their disobedience and rebellion and idolatry, they lost their inheritance. And eventually they were conquered, and Babylon conquered them and took them all into captivity. So that inheritance evaporated. But Jesus came as the great Israel. The word Israel means Prince of God. Jesus is the Prince of God. He fulfilled everything that where Israel failed. He is the true Israel of God. Jesus was obedient to every word of his Father. And he received an inheritance, Jesus did. And all those in Christ also have an inheritance. That's what Peter is talking about. We are born again onto an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Now we are not yet possessors of that inheritance. We don't have it yet. But we have a down payment to that inheritance. The earnest has been given. The down payment has been given for that inheritance, and that earnest is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who has been given to us is the earnest of our inheritance. The fact that He is in our hearts now. And that we may say Jesus is Lord by the power of the Spirit means that that inheritance is ours, though we are not yet in full possession of it. We still live in this earth. We still live in this veil of tears. We're still going to have to go through pain, sorrow, and eventually death. Unless Jesus comes first. So we are not yet possessors of that inheritance. But we know it's ours because the down payment has been given and the Holy Spirit in our hearts is the down payment. The Holy Spirit guarantees that we're going to be there. That we're going to have a home in heaven. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to I'm going. Thomas said, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus said, listen, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life to that inheritance. And the Holy Spirit is the guarantee that we're going to have it. So that inheritance is ours. It's for all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the terror of those who have rejected the Savior, who said, no, it's not for me. It's not for me. It's okay for you, but it's not for me. Pity that person when he faces the judge of heaven and earth at the point of death and has nothing to say. He might say, well, I tried my best. I tried to live a good life. No, it's not good enough. Our best works are like filthy rags. There's only one way to come into the kingdom of God, to come into heaven itself, and that is to say, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. Salvation is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. Oh, may each of us know that salvation, that we may know that we are not our own, but we belong to Him. Oh, may we be able to say with the psalmist in Psalm 17, when I in righteousness at last thy glorious face shall see, and all this weary night is past, and I awake with thee to view the glories that abide, then will I be satisfied. That's it. That's the living hope we have for this life and for all eternity. And everyone said, amen. Lord, bless this word onto our hearts today. We thank you, Lord, that we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, reserved in heaven for us. Bless this word onto our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.